This morning's scripture reading is Psalm 69, verses 30 through 36. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Thank you.
Two Native American boys were sitting on the coast of the New England, New England, and to their amazement, to their surprise, they saw two great ships with white wings sailing to the shores, and they were surprised to what these ships were all about. So they went out there to explore these great ships, and Englishmen got off the ship and took them captive and took them back to England. There they were brought to a man by the name of Sir Fernando Gorges, who had sent the English explorers out to bring back some items from the New World. I don't know if you're aware of who this Indian is or not, but his name is Squanto. Do you guys know that story? I find this story kind of fascinating. There for 3 years, he was taught by Sir Fernando Gorges, who had financed the expedition to teach these Indian lads the English language. And after 3 years of being taught the English language, he was asked, or they were told, to help the Englishmen to help with the exploration of the New World. And so, to his amazement, Squanto was sent back on a ship back to the New World, and he helped out with the exploration. He had longed for those 3 years to be back in his home village. And as he was sailing along the shores of New England, there he saw his village. He asked if he could go ashore, and sure enough, he went on shore. He longed to see his family and his friends, and he was allowed to stay. Well, several years go by, and again, he sees some more ships with white sails, and this time he wasn't afraid of the Englishmen. And so he went and gathered some of his friends and compadres, went out there to meet the sailboats or the ships as they were coming ashore, but this time they were taken as slaves. And once again, heading back. And there they were sold as slaves, and as Squanto came to the slave block, a monk got a hold of him, taught him the Christian lifestyle, and after several years being there, He learned about Christ, and this monk said in a language that Squanto didn't understand, "You're free." He didn't understand what he was saying, but he could tell by his eyes what he meant. "You're free to go." Well, it was interesting that Squanto hung around there for a little bit longer and learned about this Christian God. Then his desire was to come back to his village, and after 10 years, I think it is, he found his way to England, made his way back to the Americas again, and got to his homeland, and to his amazement and surprise, his whole village had been wiped out by a white man's disease. And when he went back to his village to find nobody, he found himself inquiring of the neighboring neighboring tribes to become part of their citizen. Years go by again, and this time Squanto sees some more ships coming abroad. And he's hesitant this time. But as he sees these people exit the ship, he knows something different. Ladies are wearing black and white. The men are dressed a little differently. And he realizes they're about ready to make a settlement in his village. Well, anyways, the story goes that Squanto took some of his friends to go out and meet these new pilgrims, and they were lifted up their muskets to kill them as they approached. Squanto and others raised their hands to show that they were coming in peace, and he said, "My name is Squanto," and he began to spout off the names in English of those who were with them, and the pilgrims were quite surprised. Well, the story goes that Squanto made a treaty with the new pilgrims, with the Indians. He helped them to plant corn. He helped them to find places of food. He helped them to find where the fish had been swimming upstream, where they could capture, where they can find venison. He helped them through the winter. As you know, the story is that many pilgrims died during the winter seasons. They didn't know how to dress appropriately. They didn't know how to make their houses appropriately. He helped them with making houses with insulation so that they'll be protected from the cold, and how to store up food. And Squanto was more than likely one of the first to be a participant at the Thanksgiving dinner that we're so familiar with. Squanto was encouraged to do a little bit of journaling from his English teachers. And he wrote down some thoughts in his journal. He was surprised that God had protected him for so many adventures. He didn't understand why he was taken away the first time, or even the second time. But as he recalls, he said, "God took me away from my village. Then God taught me English. God used me to help these pilgrims. And God has preserved my life when I could have been here in my village and taken the white man's plague." Squanto became a thankful person, although he used his advantage to he used his English language and his communication with the pilgrims and the Indians to his advantage. He told his native friends that if he didn't do his bidding, that the white men would curse him and so forth. And he got rich off of this, and some of the Indians got mad at him and wanted to kill him. But Squanto writes down that God had preserved me. And he was thankful for that. And I want to read this, just this last statement. How accurate is the story? But I like the way that supposedly he wrote this down. While at the first Thanksgiving meal, he was surprised to hear the governor mention his name and thank you for Squanto to help us out. Well, not long after this, Squanto came down with a fever. And as the governor came by his bedside, Squanto asked this. He said, "Pray for me, Governor." He said, "Pray for me that I might go to the English man's God in heaven." Sounds to me that Squanto was a little thankful for all that he had experienced in his lifetime. Isn't that what Thanksgiving is all about? About thankfulness, gratitude, and the blessings that God bestows upon us? Have we considered the God of heaven and the many blessings that God has given us throughout this last year or decade or our lifetime? Have you experienced the blessings that God wants to give you or is giving you in your personal life? Have you experienced the joy that comes from trusting in the divine Savior who gives us everything to supply the needs and the wants of His children that He loves and cares for? Now, their table they have a little list here of what was probably on their Thanksgiving table that day. A lot different from ours today. They have a little list here. It says on the tables they had venison, roast duck, goose, turkeys, shellfish, bread and vegetables, woodland fruits, berries for dessert. It doesn't look too much like our table today. A little different. I haven't seen some venison and roasted goose lately on our tables, but are you thankful for the many blessings that God has given you over this last year? I want to invite you to turn with our scripture reading here today that we just had. And my wife's always harping on me about making sure that I do sermons appropriate for the season. I have a one-track mind. If we're going to do discipleship, I'm going to focus on discipleship until we're done. And she always reminds me and says, make sure that we sing some holiday songs, too, with the season. And so I always have to remember that. So I'm taking a break against my better judgment, maybe to be a blessing to you. And because my wife gave me a little hard time, make sure you do a sermon. As they always say, behind a good man, right? How does it go? It's a better woman, or I don't know, something like that. But thankful for my wife God gave me. Psalm 69, and we're going to look at our scripture reading today once again, starting with verse 30. 69 and verse 30. Notice what the Bible says. He says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with what? What will I do? I will magnify our God with thanksgiving. Now, notice the rest of the next verse on. He says, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs. You know what he's saying? You know what his illustration is here? Thanksgiving and praise is more important than what we offer on the altar of sacrifice. That's what he's alluding to. He's pointing to the bullock with horns. He's pointing to this animal sacrifice that one offers as a petition to God for forgiveness of sins or for thanksgiving. What David is saying here is what's more important to offer on the altar is not just the animal, the outward display, but it's the condition of the heart of gratitude. You've heard the old saying, attitude of what? Gratitude, right? Are you thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed in your life? And God is asking us, in particular, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, to be thankful for the many things that He has given us. Not just for Thanksgiving food that He's placed upon the table, but for the many blessings that He's giving you in your personal life. Now, let's go on here. Verse 32, notice the context of what David's doing. Every verse, he's illustrating that first verse of thankfulness. He says this in verse 32, the humble shall see this and be what? What will they be glad about? They will be glad that a thankful and praising heart is much better than sacrifice. And notice he gives the condition, humble. A person that is humble, the opposite of humble would be what? What is it? Proud, right? If you're humble, right? Humbleness is a precursor, if you will, a prerequisite for thankfulness. Because when we are filled with pride, there's rarely a thankful heart, right? So he goes on and he says, the humble will see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. In other words, there comes a blessing in the individual's life when we are thankful to the God of heaven. What do you say? There is something that takes place in the spiritual being as well as in the physical life of the individual when we are thankful for what God has done for us and what He has given to us. Now, and notice, here's the context again. Every verse is based on the platform of being thankful. And he says this, the Lord for the Lord. The Lord heareth the poor and despise not his prisoners. And I think of the illustration here. When Paul and Peter, when they were in prison for the word of God, were they downcast? Were they cursing God? Were they frustrated at God? No. What did they say? I thank God that I was counted worthy to suffer. That just blows us out of the water as Christians today. We get a hangnail, our teeth fall out or something, we get upset at God. Right? Stub your toe or something. Man, why, God, you allow this to happen in my life? But Paul, who was beaten, who was in prison, suffered shipwreck. Peter, while he was in prison, they were hit, beat with stripes on their back, beaten with rods, whips, and all those things. After they come out of that predicament, they walk out and they say, praise God! Thank you, Lord, that we were worthy, that we could be punished for your sake so that the gospel will go out to the world. Are you happy for the predicaments and challenges and frustrations and trials that are in your life? Praise God. God knows what He's doing. Amen? When we hit trial, when we come into circumstance, God knows what's happening in our lives. And this just pops into my brain here. David wrote in a psalm, and I don't remember which one it was, but it just popped in my mind here. David wrote in a psalm, he says this. He says that the enemies are against me. They are the number of the hairs of my head. And I put these two verses together. David saying the circumstances, the trials in my life are great. There is the numbers of my hair on my head. And then you remember what Jesus said in the New Testament? God knows every hair that is upon your head. In other words, friends, the illustration is that God knows every single situation, every trial by which you and I are facing today in our personal lives. Every one of them. Amen? God has not excused Himself from our lives to not understand what we are going through or whatever circumstance we are faced with. He knows every single one of them, to the greatest, to the smallest. He understands every single one of them. And as David said, He knows how to deliver us out of them all. Isn't that powerful? Trials. What are you thankful for today? Then he goes on to say, the Lord hears the poor and He despises not His prisoners. Let the heaven and the earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moves therein. For God will save Zion. Here it is again. Thankfulness and prayer go hand, praise go hand in hand that we may enter into the kingdom of heaven. And let me illustrate it this way. When the Levites were marching back with the captured Ark of the Covenant, the Levites were carrying and bearing this ark back into the city. David made a very specific point to set before the Ark of the Covenant singers that sang praises, those that played the harp and the cymbals and all that stuff, but he also made mention in 2 Chronicles there that they should offer praise and thanksgiving. Friends, it is important for our lives, for the Christian experience, to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Now let me illustrate it with another verse here. If I can find my other verses here. I have a few verses that I'm just going to go over very quickly, but you'll get the gist of it as we go along. Psalms 35, verse 18 says this, I will give thanks in the great congregation. The importance of a congregation collectively gathering together with an intent on having a meeting to worship God. David says, let there be thanksgiving within the congregation. David goes on to say, he says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And then Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So important was thanksgiving supposed to be on the lips of God's people that David repeatedly, verse after verse, in Psalms 136, said it over and over again. He says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. So important is it for us as Christians to be thankful for the blessings that God gives us. David repeats it verse after verse in Psalms 136. And then Psalms 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. It almost sounds as what David is trying to encourage us to do is before we even enter into the gates of the congregation, before we come through the front doors, to meditate upon His gratefulness in what we can be thankful for in the house of God. Thankfulness is a powerful tool to run the enemy off. Because we are telling the congregation, we are telling each other, and we are telling the devil, if you will, how great our God is. Amen? How mighty our God is. How caring our God is. Have you meditated upon God's goodness in your life recently? Have you inclined your heart to meditate upon His blessings and to be thankful before you enter into these gates? I want to challenge us as a congregation, not in the holiday of the season of Thanksgiving, but every day, take an opportunity to thank God for what He is doing in your life. So powerful and potent was thanksgiving that David said, I will get up at midnight and praise the Lord and thank Him. I'm not quite up to getting up at midnight every night and thanking the Lord yet. But David was a dedicated man. David was thankful and very careful to give praise and thanksgiving to his Lord. I find it often discouraging for us as especially Seventh-day Adventist Christians, is it's so easy for us to put together a prayer list. It's almost like a to-do list for God. But many times we fail to look at the blessings that He gives us. To praise Him in the hardships, to thank Him for the trials, to thank Him for the challenges, to thank Him for the victories, thank Him for all that He has given us as a church and as individuals of His body. I want to illustrate by using some other scripture in the New Testament, especially from the lips of Paul. Romans chapter 1:8. You don't have to turn to all these. You may want to look at or write them down, but I'm just going to go through them very quickly. Romans chapter 1:8. Paul said, first, he starts out, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. First thing important for Paul was thankfulness to the God of the universe. I thank God. How do your prayers open up? How does your ministry open up? How does your day begin with God? How does it start? How does your conversation begin in the church service? 1 Corinthians 15:57, he thanks Him for the victories that Christ gives us. Friends, has God given you victories in your personal life? Has God bestowed upon you the ministry of victory in your life so that you are more than a conqueror? Have you forgotten to thank Him for the victories that He gives you in your life? I skipped one. It's an important one. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Friends, if we have anything to be thankful for, that is our Savior Jesus. Amen? What did Jesus do? He left all of heaven. Left heaven, came down to this earth, spread His arms out on the cross, died for us, that we may have what? Eternal life. He shed His blood so that we did not need to. He died so that we don't have to. Right? So that we can have the promise of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul repeatedly says, he's thankful. I thank you. Thankful for, he says, the unspeakable gift. And then he goes on to illustrate the gift of salvation found in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, with supplication and with thanksgiving, offer your prayers to God. Continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. I want you to pause for a moment here and to ask yourself and to communicate to the Lord just for a moment here. What are you thankful for? Is there something right now that you would like to thank God for? Something that you are thankful for? Not some little trinket of, well, Lord, thank you that I was able to speak to my neighbor this week about you. That's great. But there's more. What are you thankful for in your life and in your heart? I can look back in my past experience and say, you know, I'm thankful that Lord, you know, took me away from the pit of hell and gave me deliverance so that I can have life in Him forever. He gave me life. Thank you, Jesus, because you really did forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to endure the trial by which I'm faced with right now. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the faith. Thank you, Lord, for allowing, whatever it is. I want you to pause just for a moment and consider the blessings or what God has given to you that you can be thankful for. In Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 through 17, they say this, the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. And this is what they said, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, as was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and you have reigned. throughout eternity, God's people are going to be thankful because of what Jesus has done for you. Thankfulness is an important part of our ministry, of our personal lives, to give back to God what is rightfully His, a heart filled with gratitude. There's nothing more that gives joy to the ears of God and a smile on His face than being thankful for the blessings that He gives us. Well, let's keep with our tradition this week. And let's turn to somebody and maybe share something. Just keep it quiet, whisper. But share with each other something that you're thankful for. And then pray to God and thank Him for that blessing in your personal life. So for the next 5 minutes, let's spend some time in prayer. But spend your time in prayer today, not for what you want, what we think needs to be done, but just thank God for who He is today. Let's do that for the next 5 minutes. Gracious Father in heaven, praise be to Your holy name, and thank You, Lord, for our divine worship here today. We thank You for giving us this congregation, this church, that we may fellowship here. I pray today that we would begin to practice the spirit of thankfulness, and that You would put that spirit within us, that we may be thankful and grateful for all the many blessings that You give us. Thank You for this great country that You have blessed us with, that we may worship You freely. And again, we thank You for Jesus, for dying on the cross of Calvary, that we may have eternal life. Help us to have this joy and this song in our hearts, to realize and to recognize, without You, Jesus, we have absolutely nothing. May we lay a hold of You. May we wrestle with You. May we find our courage and strength in You. May we find our victory in You. And to that end, Lord, may we finally stand in the kingdom of heaven throughout eternity with You. In Jesus' name, amen.